keeping you entertained and informed.
On air,
online, on digital,
digital,
and the ABC Listen app.
This is Evenings
with Louise Saunders.
What did you have for dinner tonight?
Tonight, I had scrambled eggs, which is pretty strange for dinner, I know, but I had this bread made from a lady that I met, and it's like a Lebanese sort of bread, but it's also like a Indian naan type bread.
Mm.
And I spent the morning making bread with her, Itan her name is, and her daughter, Hajer. We all made bread together this morning, and it was a lot of fun. Like, she had the dough basically made, and then she showed me how she made that dough. And then we got stuck into, she's got a lovely tandoor oven at the back in a shed, and we got the oven up to 400 degrees, I think, centigrade. And,
wow.
Yeah, just
got
the whole batch of bread.
Bread's your thing, isn't it? You love to play around with bread.
I want to know every single bread there is you can make, I think. You know, that's my aim in life.
Mm.
And, yeah, this is a new one for me.
So what is it? I mean, we all see the Turkish bread. In terms of making a bread, is it the yeast, the flour and the water? Is that where you start?
It basically all comes to that simple combination. Yeah, yeast, flour, and you've got a bit of salt, and then there's water. Water sets the whole thing going.
Mm.
If you just had the yeast and the flour and the salt, there'd be nothing happening. Once you add that water, then the magic happens. Then all the proteins and the gluten all starts activating and, you know, becoming what we realise is bread.
Mm.
And lovely and airy. So, you know, we made a whole batch. We made something about 40 bread, I think. 40. It's a lot of work. It was great. It was a lot of fun, but a lot of work.
Well, how are the muscles today? Are you doing a lot of kneading in that much bread?
It was more, but I was learning how to shape. And if you've ever tried to shape dough with your hand, just with your hands, watching her do it, Itan do it, it was just magical. She was just shaping it, and then she was making this lovely, round, thin dough, like pizza dough sort of thing, that sort of thing. You know, I had a go, and they'd be like maps of Australia and all sorts of things. It was a real mess.
She can probably look at you and carry on a conversation and still do it with her hands going, can she?
No, she's that good. She is. She was actually cooking at the same time, showing me what to do at the same time as well. So, you know, that's what I had for dinner. I had one of those they're much bigger than the ones Lebanese breads you see in the shops. It was quite big, and it was fresh from the oven. There's nothing like it.
No.
Warm, crispy, totally different to any other sort of flatbread I've ever had. And just the smell of it was incredible. And with that, I just made something very simple, got home, made some scrambled eggs. I had a bit of tomato salsa in the fridge, which I added some cumin and some cinnamon to. So it gave it a little bit of a Middle Eastern sort of flavour. And I had that with a bit of yogurt and a couple of chopped tomatoes, and delightful. And it was about 3 o'clock lunch.
So what do you think her trick is? What do you think that she's mastered to make it so good?
Well, she learnt from her grandma, she told me. They're actually northern Iraqi Turks, and they're called Turkmen. And nothing to do with Turkmenistan, which is further along. It's one of the other stands you've got over there. This is actually the Turkish people, but they live in northern Iraq, and they've gone through a bit of terrible strife over there as well, you know. So she learnt from her grandmother, and they came out here 15 years ago, and they've been looking. They found a little tandoor oven. They found two, actually. They've got in their backyard. And I think that's what you've got to do. I mean, she tried to teach me, and you just have to have that practice. You need a grandmother to show you how to do it in the first place, and then you've got to practice. And, you know, I was getting better towards the end, but I think her secret is just practice.
Yeah.
Doing that every day.
And you know the value of that, don't you? Because of your own background with both Fijian and Indian background, that being at the in the kitchen with the grandma or the mum or whatever is just, it lasts with you forever.
It's the most important thing. I do agree, yeah. Because, and, you know, they taught me how to make rotis. And when I tell people, when they ask me, how do you make a good roti? And I just say, yes, it's even more simple. It's just flour and salt. And if you want to add a little bit of ghee and water, that's it. Mm. There's no leavening agents at all. But, you know, they ask me how to make a good one, and I just say, you know, I try to explain, but you can't. It's all about feeling the dough. When you're actually rolling, you've got to put a little bit of weight on one hand And, you know, and it's so complicated. And I think Eitan probably has exactly the same thing when she was trying to show me how the dough falls over her hand and how she brings it back. And it was just too complicated to
actually
fathom it.
Well, it's by touch, isn't it? So how are you going to go in a week's time or something when you decide you're going to have a go on your own? Is the muscle memory going to be there, or are you going to have to think it through?
I think I'll have to get another lesson from her, I think. For that, that's the hardest part. Mm. Making the dough, that's fine. I could do all that. And the actual cooking, that's fine because, you know, I don't mind, apart from losing nearly all my arm hairs in the oven. As I said, it's very hot. But, you know, it's very pleasurable. Mm. Wonderful thing to do.
Talking food with Dylan Kasser on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. My name's Louise Saunders. Great to have your company. If you're as keen a foodie as Dylan is, you will find him on Facebook, and he shares the pictures of often the process too of how he goes about getting things done. Before we move on to some of the other things you've done, what about other bread experiences of late? Have you discovered anything else new that you enjoyed?
Well, before I made this bread, which is that no-knead sort of bread, that one I've made overnight proving and things like that, I used to make bread and I was never that happy with it. And it was only a trip to France back in 89 that I actually tasted some bread that wasn't made in an actual bakery. It was just made in a restaurant, I think. And I was really eager to find out because it tasted great, great texture. And I said, how do you make this bread so nice? And what they did was actually they got ground oats and some nuts, and they ground them up into almost like a flour. And I thought, okay, I'll give that a go. And that's what I did when I got back, and I made a bread that was much nicer than anything I've ever done. So what I've just done is I've gone back to that, and I'm talking about the late 80s here, and I went back to that, and I used my bread making at the moment, and I made an absolute delicious loaf of bread. And the only secret I've got with that is instead of using oats and other grains and nuts, I use my homemade muesli, which I've zipped through on the blender, very, very fine, and I mix that with a normal dough, and it's the most exquisite bread you've ever tasted, just flavour-wise.
Is it fine, or is it really thick and seedy, like a Finnan loaf or something?
No, I've made sure it was very fine, because that's what they did in that loaf I had in France. Mm. There was no indication of nuts or anything like that, or any solid bits. It was just like a flour. Mm. So it was ground so finely. I did it when I first got back. I was doing it with a mortar and pestle and making it very fine. But now, you know, you can put it in a blender, zip it up as fast as you can, and it comes like the texture of flour. But, you know, if you just want to add a bit more flavour to, you know, your pizza dough, anything at all, try that.
It's a good way to do with the kids, isn't it? Because kids love making pizza, and pizza dough is so easy that you can, I guess, get them onto some of the things that they may resist, perhaps, Dylan.
Good thinking. I never think of that. But you're absolutely right.
Well, your
right.
Kids are past that now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. You just can't have boring old bland unhealthy white flour, can you? So adding something like that would probably lift it up quite a bit.
If you've got a technique yourself that you'd like to share with Dylan, we'd love to hear from you. My phone number is 1300 222 936, particularly if it pertains to bread, something I'm sure Dylan would love to hear from you. When I see no-knead loaves, it always looks to me like someone's found a way around a bit of a cop-out and it wouldn't work out quite as well. What do you think about the no-knead option?
Well, I tried to explain this to Eitan today, the lady who made the Lebanese bread. She does all the hard work and the kneading and all that, and I tried to explain an easy way, and you could just see her looking at me very suspiciously, thinking, "You lazy good for nothing," but it works. It's a very slow process, and it just slows everything down. It's not because I'm lazy; it's because it does give you a lot more sort of flavour development in the bread, and it also builds up the gluten slowly, so you're not sort of pounding away. You can do it that way. There's nothing wrong with it, but I prefer to have that really long, slow. It's when the bacteria and the yeast and all those little things in the air get together,
do their thing,
and they give lots of flavour to it. Yeah. So I prefer doing it that way.
Proving is another thing too, isn't it? There's no shortcuts really to that, is there?
No, you've just got to test. You've just, again, it's experience. You've got to know. It's the touch. It's when you see your people say double the size of your original mound of dough you have, the better test is just to wet your finger, stick your finger into the dough, not all the way in, of course. If it bounces back really quickly, it means it's not ready. If it bounces back quite slowly, that means it's ready. If it just, the whole dent stays in there, that means you've gone too far.
Mm.
And what you need to do then is give it another knead, a quick one, and that just refreshes all the gluten, things like that. It won't be as good as it was if you hadn't have gone too far. But that's one way of testing. I think it's a better way of testing it than just saying it doubles in height.
You've got to stay alert and involved, haven't you?
Well, No.
You've got to know when to go back and check.
I encourage everyone to make bread because it's the most, it's very forgiving.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll get a pretty good result no matter what you do. And, you know, I've only ever had one, well, I wouldn't say inedible, but it wasn't good.
Mm.
You know, it was terrible. I made the whole thing into breadcrumbs. But, you know, you can't.
Well, that's what I was saying before. You don't actually let failure get you down, do you? You just turn into something else, as
well,
we like to say. What would Dylan do?
Well, I think today I have a failure which I don't think I can reverse.
Oh.
Which is the apricots.
Ah, yes, now the apricots. Am I right in thinking apricot season seems to have suddenly arrived?
Bang on. A friend of mine just rang me today, or didn't ring me, just wrote to me today and said, I've got a 100-year-old tree and apricots are just falling off it like rain, you know. And he said, how many would you like? And I said, 3 kilos? And he said, how about 6? And that was just, you know, not even putting a dent. But it is apricot season. And unfortunately, they do tend to ripen pretty much all together. Which is, you know, if you had different trees that ripen at different moments,
oh, you'd be right. Dylan Gasser is with me. He is a very enthusiastic home cook. And while his Turkish bread under instruction today may have turned out wonderfully, apparently his apricots not so much. There you are. You've got these kilos of apricots to do things with.
Well, no, I haven't yet. I will be getting kilos of apricots soon, but I just had this few precious apricots today and they were just exquisite. And I've been eating them 5 apricots in a go. And I just thought, oh, yeah, let's be a bit smarty, you know, and do something with them, cook with them or something like that. And I've been obsessed with pierogi dough. I think I might have mentioned that to...
This is Polish, I think, is it?
It's Polish, Russian,
right,
yeah, that
kind
that's
of
that area.
Eastern, yeah.
So it's basically a very buttery yeast dough.
I've heard of people going into paroxysms of delight when they encounter a well-made, often by the ethnically... linked person to these, that it's a real
thing. Probably wouldn't get any further away from Russia than me, but I'll give it a go. But this, they're exquisite. They are, and they're just, you just eat one and there's no way you can stop until you've eaten 10. You know, they're just one of those things that are just so Moorish. And the traditional one is either cabbage or speck and onion, which is the other. I've been doing all sorts of naughty things with them. I've even put beef rendang in them, and you know, because they are so good.
It's a nice mixing of the cultures. Mm. Speck is generally available, I think, from supermarkets these days, isn't it? You'll find it with the small goods. It's just a cured meat, I think.
It's like
isn't
a
it?
Mild bacon.
Yeah.
You know, not very strong. You can even eat it raw, but yeah, some people eat it raw. I don't.
It has a fairly thick layer of fat, I think, with it, doesn't it? So better off probably cooked
it's
rather
sort of
than...
not as delicate as prosciutto or anything like that, but it's, you know, between those two. Lightly smoked, So, yeah.
So what were you trying to do today, Dylan? What was your aim?
Well, as I said, I had these exquisite apricots and I had some old, not old, but fairly old dough, pierogi dough left over. So I thought I'd be really clever and cut rings out of the pierogi dough and stick some sugar on the bottom of that to sweeten it, because the pierogi dough isn't super sweet. So I put some sugar on it, put a half an apricot on top, and then sprinkle some more sugar on the bottom. And it looked beautiful. I don't know if you see the picture.
Good.
Yeah. Looks nice.
The pictures are on Dylan's Facebook page. If you follow him on Facebook, Dylan Gasser. It looks great. Looks like lovely. And the pastry around it is roughly the size of the halved apricot. So,
So, in other words, they sort of rise around the apricot, you can see. I leave it for about 20 minutes to prove, and they sort of rise up a little bit. And then I baked it in a very hot oven, about 230, 240, for about 10 minutes. When it came out, you can see I've done some with the cut side up and some the other way around. The cut side up was spectacular because all the juice and all the sugar, you know, all sort of pooled together. And I was salivating when I saw it. And then I had a first bite and salt.
Oh.
It was all salt.
From the pastry?
From the sugar I was supposed to be sprinkling underneath and on top.
Salt.
That's what you get when you've got eyes like me. I just reached out to a bowl and I grabbed a handful. And I just put salt on all. And it was disgusting.
It's white and it's granular, but it's not sugar.
I know, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't think I can fix it now.
No.
So if anyone's got any idea about what to do with salted apricots, I'd like to know.
Yeah. I wonder if you could turn them into a chutney, could you?
You could.
I don't know. 1300 222 936 if you've got the answer to Dylan's dilemma. They do look good, I must say. Lynn says she loves bread too. With the ground nuts and oats, what proportion would you use to a regular dough, she asks?
Well, as I said, I used a cup of muesli, homemade, so all the goodies in it, and it's even got fruit. I have fruit in it. And when you blitz it, you end up with a little less than a cup. And with that, I mixed basically 3 cups of bread flour.
Right.
Or baker's flour.
So around that quarter, 24.
Yeah, about 20, quarter. Yeah, maybe a little bit less sometimes. It depends. Okay. See, I don't mind my doughs being not so holy. People are obsessed with holes in their bread. I'm not, so I don't mind if it just gets a little bit dense.
Well, it's hard to butter over, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the butter just disappears on your plate.
It? I'll tell you what, when you have got apricots and people start turning them into jam, is there anything as good as freshly baked bread with apricot jam on it?
No. No. Marmalade's close, but I think you're absolutely right. I think apricots, and at the moment, they are exquisite. They are just nectar. You know, you bite into them, they're juicy. That's one thing the poor old mainland don't get. You know, they just don't get apricots that are juicy and sweet.
And the friends who make apricot jam.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you with other things? What about berries? Still berries around your way?
I picked up some currants from the local flower room. That was lovely. Haven't quite decided what to do with them yet. I think I probably will make a jam. I made some jam from some crab apples.
Mm.
Lovely apple called Jeeveston Fanny.
Is that one of the historic ones?
Yep. It's
I saw that. It was a beautiful rose colour in your jars.
So it made a really lovely looking jelly as well. So jellies, I mean, I used it for cheeses. You can use it for meats.
Mm.
Or you can just
use gelatin leaves, do you?
No. This is all pectin from the actual fruit.
Right. Oh, wow.
From the skins. There's so much pectin in crab apples.
Mm.
Not quite as much as quince. Quince are amazing, but crab apple have a lot and much more. And green apples do too. And the funny thing with these jeeves, they've got this lovely blush inside them, the flesh, but they're not as tart as a lot of the crab apples I've eaten in the past. So it's a local one. Somebody just saw a tree and they thought, great, I want to propagate that.
So you don't have to do too much extra sugar into
it? No, well, you've got, say, I had 600 mils of juice. So what you do is you cook your crab apples until they basically turn to mush, but you don't encourage the mush. You just boil it slowly. And then you strain it either through cheesecloth, and you just want the liquid. You don't really want too much of the sediment. I don't mind if you have a little bit of sediment, but the purists, they don't.
Mm.
I just think, you know, a little bit won't hurt it.
It's almost beautifully clear too. I'm looking at the pictures now of your crab apple jelly. It looks like you can almost see right through to the other side.
Yeah, it's gorgeous to look at, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. I mean, the other thing I do is I skim the scum that comes up the top. I don't always. I always, because there's a lot of flavour you're taking away from that. But this time I did. And once you get the scum rising to the top, you just scoop it off and then you put it into a bowl. You can use it for other things, like, you know, if you're making a cake or something like that, you can add it to that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's still a lot of flavour.
Scones would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Crab apple jelly and scones.
With cream. Mm. Really thick layers of cream.
God, I haven't had a good scone for years. I really haven't.
Do you make scones?
No, I should, but we went to a couple of places and we ordered scones and we got something strange. It was almost like, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a scone.
What I like is still on rural properties, there are families when it's smoko time and it's an early start. The scones are literally just whipped up into the oven and there they are waiting at smoko time for morning tea. How good would that
be? I know, it's so good. And I remember seeing those little cafes that used to have, you know, freshly made scones. They make them that as soon as you walk in, you ask for scones and 10 minutes later you've got scones.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm going to make some next week.
Oh, good. you've been making sausage too, have you? Is this your effort? A Boer Wars sausage?
No, I didn't make that. I bought that. I can't remember where because it's been in the freezer.
Mm.
That's just a South African, really rugged sort of sausage, quite grainy, made from beef and lots of pork fat and lots of spices.
Mm. The way you've cooked is a nice way. I do this too, Connor, at kind of like a bastardised cassoulet. Is if you cook on vegetables, it's just delightful, isn't it? Especially the juicy ones like tomatoes and so on.
Yeah, and this has had peppers and onions. And there's a New York, I think, street food almost, whereas they have, it's an Italian style street food where they grill the sausages and they have onions, fried onions and peppers together and then just stuff a roll with that and just eat it like that. That's where I've had that before and I loved it, and that's where that idea came from. It's just getting the Boer Wars sausage, putting it on top of lots of sliced onion, lots of peppers, a little bit of tomato, not a few cherry tomatoes I threw in there just for fun. And you just sort of dress it a little bit in olive oil, a little bit of vinegar, and that's it, and salt and pepper.
Mm.
And you put your sausage on top, bake it in a very hot oven, about 230, 40 minutes, And then you've got this sort of really lovely chutney, sort of oniony, peppery thing that just goes so well with sausage. There's nothing better.
Sounds absolutely delightful. Have you relabeled the sugar and salt in your home, Dylan?
Well, I thought I was doing a good thing. I was actually washing the sugar bowl, and I poured the sugar into a normal bowl, and that's where the mix-up was. So, you know,
it happens.
Pays not to be clean.
That's a good way of looking at things. Just finally, tomatoes. I know we talk tomatoes every summer. How are you doing this year?
I've only got a few green ones coming up. I haven't got any ripe ones. I've noticed that some people actually are getting ripe ones, so they must have early varieties, but I haven't seen any. You're talking about zucchinis.
They're not around yet, are they?
Plenty.
Surely.
Oh, yeah. I'm in getting a glut. I've got four. Every year I cut back a bit because I seem to get too many. But this year I've got four bushes and, yeah, they're doing pretty well. We're getting a lot of flowers. My wife, Greta, she made lovely stuffed zucchini flowers the other day.
Yum.
Beautiful.
Do you get the rogue one that you discover in about early March that's been sitting there under a big leaf and has grown in size of a small dog?
I've had a couple of those and luckily my next door neighbour loves those for fritters.
Ah.
So they grate it. I don't know what their recipe is, but I must find out one day. But they grate it and make lovely fritters, and apparently the hubby really loves those fritters. So,
the one thing that I often am envious of when it comes to people living on the Big Island is that they get their tomato season so much earlier, don't they?
They do. But do they taste as good as ours?
Ah, right.
Let's just be really snobby and say no.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of snobby, I'm going to talk about postcode prejudice a little later. Have you ever lived in a suburb which was judged for just the name of the suburb or the postcode that it was? To the extent of privilege is the other way of doing it.
It's funny, like next door, we moved to Balmain in the 70s. It was basically working class. But I remember when we moved to Roselle, the people in Balmain were going, you're living in Roselle now, which is the next suburb.
Now it would be the other way around, actually, wouldn't it? There'd be more prestige, I think, living in Balmain by the water than in Roselle. We'll talk a little later about postcode prejudice. Great to have you back. We'll put the chat app online so that you can listen again to Dylan. And if you do share his enthusiasm for food, you'll find him on Facebook. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks' time.
Okay.
Thank you. Dylan Kasur on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.